Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The reason I ride motorcycles was a little TV show called Happy Days, and the coolest human being that I'd ever thought of, ever imagined, everything from girls to being the greatest dancer and winning it all, to, you know, jumping his motorcycle in the parking lot at Arnold's. He was, without a doubt, the greatest jukebox-smoking, fantastic girl-kissing character in the history of my childhood. And the very reason I bought my first black leather jacket and bought a motorcycle, Fonzie, the character, the man, Henry Winkler.
Born October 30th in Manhattan, New York, our next guest is, without question, one of our favorite people in the world. From his iconic work as Fonzie on the series Happy Days, to his work in such films as Night Shift, Scream, and The Waterboy, and such series as Arrested Development, and Children's Hospital. Not to mention authoring the award-winning Hank Zitzer books. And now, you can see him as season one of the hit HBO series Barry, is available on HBO Go and HBO On Demand. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Henry Winkler.
Oh, Mr. Henry Winkler, you magnificent son of a bitch.
Hey, just wait your turn here. I'm writing an email. How is everything?
Oh, my goodness. Better now that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to our chats.
I always do. You know that.
Yeah, I really do.
I'm so happy for you. You got the season's coming up for two. They picked it up, and Barry's going to happen some more, which I think you, dude, you make me laugh in that because and tell me if I'm wrong, but in my head, I'm 100% sure that you are channeling every terrible acting coach, ridiculous thing you ever heard on your way up through New York and L.A.
That is absolutely the truth.
I just love it.
From New Haven to Boston to New York City to L.A.
Let the cat out.
Yeah, and then I believe that it got 13 nominations for Emmys.
That's so good. But everything you do is good like that. Everything you do is good and weird and fun and smart.
Well, I have to say, I'm very blessed in that, I auditioned for Bill Hader and Alec Berg, the two guys who run the show. And I am now a proud member of that ensemble. Because everybody on the show is a heavy hitter.
See, that's so great, man. I mean, and they show you respect and they love you because, A, you're a great actor. B, you may be an even better human being.
You know, I'm not sure about that. I would love to take credit for that. I don't know that my children would actually say that. Maybe my youngest son, who rightly idolizes me, but the other two, I think, find me shady.
Well, I say, nobody asks what they did to get a boot thrown at them.
Yeah, that's true. You mean Zoe, when we went fishing and yes. She was late, and I took off my fishing boot and threw it. But actually, I didn't throw it at her. I threw it in her vicinity.
Of course not. Of course you did that.
I would never hurt her, but I did want her to hurry up to get on the river. I'm there to fish, not socialize.
Oh, it's so good, man. And your life is so good. And everything has been
at
good.
At this moment, it really is. We have a new puppy.
Nice.
Sadie.
And what is it?
She's 6 months old. She is a Labradoodle, and she's chocolate brown.
Nice.
Oh, my God, what a little girl.
It's so funny, that stuff we do. I mean, you know, my dog comes to work with me every day, has for 14 years, and now I bought that land, disgrace land is what we call it, the 30 acres, and I've got four new ducks I was following around yesterday, and so those guys have been watching them, the deer, feeding the deer, the turtles, the fox, and then I filled this 2-acre pond filled with koi.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
It's so much fun. It really is.
Do you sit by the do you sit by the lake and just meditate?
Hours. Yeah. But if by meditating you mean drinking and throwing fish food, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody's got their own.
Right.
Everybody's got their own way to meditate.
It is really nice, and I know you find that same thing up. You know, when you get out there in the middle of God's country and you're on those rivers, and it's
your whole way to live changes. You know, everything that bothers you is washed away by the sound of the river.
Yes, I believe that with all my heart. When I ride motorcycles, we're getting ready to go to Nova Scotia after Sturgis. We'll do the Cabot Trail.
Nova Scotia, the people up there are so lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And the wind does that for me. The wind blows away a lot of the problems.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. Yeah.
It is something great about, and I think you have a similar mentality like I do, that just you have so much going on, so many things you want to do, so many ideas that are pinging around, you know, and then when you're doing a singular thing that you need to concentrate on, you can finally calm those voices and just do that for a while.
Yeah, that, you know what, that is so true, because you get stressed out. Now, whether it's real or it's not, it doesn't matter, because it really does affect your feeling. Yesterday, for half the day, I felt like a 5-year-old. I couldn't focus. I felt sad. I felt like I wasn't centered. And then I just worked my way back, and then was able to plunge into the rest of the day, and ended it with a great Vietnamese meal.
That reminds me of going to Vietnam, and I ate that pho, the soup in the morning.
Yes. Oh my goodness, with that sharp mustard.
Yes.
Oh Lord, I'm going back right after this interview.
I'm telling you, we were in Hanoi, sitting on these little plastic stools in these weird little alleyways, which made it 10 times better. And these ladies didn't speak English at all. And then so you just kind of hand them some money. And then I just kept eating so many bowls of this stuff that they started to look at me strange, because I kept ordering. I'm like, may I have one more, please? And, you know, it's so good, you cannot stop.
I'm right with you. It's like boiled beef, potatoes, and cabbage and carrots.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it was a great capper to a medium day.
You should let's go to Vietnam, you and I.
You know where I want to go with you is to Sturgis one day.
Come on. Are you
kidding
me?
I'm not kidding.
Henry?
You know, at this moment, I am so busy. We are writing a brand new book, my partner and I.
Yep.
We have just sold a new series. Hank Zipser, the world's greatest underachiever, is done.
Right.
We've written 30 novels from first grade to fifth grade. So they're done, and now we're writing a brand new one, and we have a deadline. And then I'm going to New York because I am promoting Barry on HBO, you know, and talking about how happy we all are with the 13 Emmys.
That's so great.
The first time I was nominated, 1976.
God.
And I never got a chance to actually say the speech I wrote. So I think I'm going to say the speech if I win, from 1976.
Listen, if you win, that proves there's a God, and I'll go back to church.
Yeah, see, okay. I'm right with you.
I'm
not even Catholic.
I don't think I'm Catholic anymore. I'm just mostly guilty.
What were you? Well, guilt, I'll tell you something. Isn't it interesting? Is that what God did to keep us in line? He gave us all of this bounty and then guilt.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what it's good for, but boy, do we all have it no matter where we come from.
Oh, my God. I grew up Catholic, where they literally told you if you touch your own penis, you're going to hell. And I realized that about 1920, there's no reason to stop masturbating because there's no coming back.
Well, wait a minute. Hold it. Are you telling me that I can now actually touch it? I've waited 72 years to hear that.
I have been shaking my own hand for so many years, my friend.
All right, well, let me just tell you, I am now standing at the phone.
Hey, so I got to tell you this story.
Yes.
And I thought about you because you're so incredible at relating to children and seeing things through their eyes. So, and this is a really true story, Henry. So T, that's worked on the show forever, his parents used to take him on these crazy vacations.
Right.
And they'd be doing soccer camps and soccer away games and try to double it into vacations. And his mom wanted to catalog it. So she'd suddenly put them by some scenic situation, pull out the old style film cameras and go smile. And they weren't, they were goofing around or whatever. And she yelled at them at T and said, no, smile, really got aggressive with him. And then he was trying to smile, but it would come out super goofy. And somehow this happened so many times to this day, we didn't realize for years, the reason he looks weird in a picture, he's really trying to smile. He cannot smile if you ask him to.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, my God, what a children's book. The little boy who couldn't
smile.
Yes.
Wow. Was it a muscle thing or just a personality thing where he literally couldn't do it if you asked him on demand?
If I asked him right now, it looks like he had a stroke. I'm not trying to be.
Wow.
He, one side goes up and his eyes can't smile. It doesn't all smile together. And
right.
It really is because his mom yelled at him so many times. About, is that right, T?
Yeah, I mean, as long as he's saying we'd go to tournaments and stuff around the country, and that so we'd combine them with vacation time. You know, some between games, we'd go to different sites and that kind of stuff. Mom wanted pictures for memories. And so we were tired and that kind of stuff. She's like, come on, let's look like we're having fun. Smile. Come on, smile. Give me a smile. And then she's like, I'd go and I'd give her what I thought was a smile. She's like, no. Give me a smile like you're enjoying yourself.
And then she told you look stupid.
Yeah, she's like, why do you got to make these faces at the camera every time?
And it became such a thing with him. To this day, he's like that. And I thought, oh, my God, what a great children's book. Of course, I want to have a happy ending in the children's book where the kid learns to smile at the end.
You know what? You know it so well, you should write it.
Listen, I almost want to pass this to you if you think it's good, because you're the one who, you really get this.
Well, you know what? I'll ask my partner this morning when I go and see her. And when we write page 102.
You are. I love, you're so prolific, and you're having the best time. And it's not like you're working because you're afraid you're not going to be able to pay your rent. You work because you can choose stuff you love, you're creative, and it makes you happy.
Yeah, but there's one other element that I truly understand, and I've understood it for a long time. The moment you're not relevant, and I don't mean famous, the moment you stop being effective, you could be effective as a tutor, you could be effective as a grandparent, you could be effective at your job, at a community theater, no matter where. The moment you stop being effective, I believe you dry up like a raisin.
Yes. Yes.
I honestly think it is the most important thing to do of all time.
You must have purpose. You must have purpose.
You must have purpose. When we went fishing, we went to Idaho just 3 weeks ago, and there were men there, and you know it was like they all friends, and they went fishing together. And one of them was still working, and two of them had retired. And one of them said, seriously, just musing, said, yeah, there's so much time now, and I don't know what to do.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, unless that man figures out something to do, doesn't have to go back to work, but just something that gratifies him to do, I'm not going to see him next year.
I could not agree more. I couldn't agree more. I leave here, and I'm at a point now where I'll leave here. I got a bunch of old 1958 bowling alley slabs before they demolished this one in Kansas City. We made
the wood on the alley?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And we made six tables, shuffleboard, 16-foot for my house, kitchen tables, high tops. Moved out of that. I found some 1973 Vietnam-era propaganda bombs, and we turned them into liquor cabinets.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, or we're, you know, putting ducks in the land or getting heavy equipment and building bridges. But the point is only that what makes me happy is creating stuff.
Right. And it's different for everybody. The only thing is, the most important thing you can do on the earth, I believe, the granddaddy of them all, is not kill somebody and figure out what is going to really spark your imagination, which will give you joy, which will make your entire being feel different.
Yeah.
So Sturgis, when do you go to Sturgis?
We will leave the 7th, the Tuesday, I believe, of August, that one. And then we'll be there, we'll get there late Tuesday night. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, into Friday morning. And then I fly to Portland, Maine, meet the bikes, take the ferry to Nova Scotia, and then work our way back across Canada to Kansas City over the next 9 days.
Wowee. Now, let me just say, Portland. Oh, Portland, Maine.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I love
the other end of the country, Portland, the Portland on the in the Northwest.
Beautiful.
There is a German restaurant that might be one of the great German meals I've had anywhere, including Germany.
Are you still traveling, Henry? I know the show, you were out,
Well, at the moment, the show is dormant. We're not doing it again.
Are you traveling?
But I have an inkling that Better Late Than Never is not finished yet.
It's a great idea.
I just have it. I mean, that travel show, people talk to me. They have, DVR'd it. And they have watched it now 6 or 7 times, both seasons. It just makes them that happy. They laugh that much. Terry Bradshaw getting naked. I actually didn't know they had a lens wide enough when he does take off his clothes to hold Terry Bradshaw
in
the
shot. He's a big man.
He's a big man.
You are. He's
a small cabin. know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks like one of those cabins that they put on a lake that's frozen when they're ice fishing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Terry. Where is that cabin? Oh, he's over there. He's taking his clothes off.
We've got to get you to Kansas City or Sturgis. I really do wish you'd meet us. You know, if for real, you ever came, Mike Ballard owns the Full Throttle Saloon, the biggest motorcycle bar in the world.
Right.
We would take care of your accommodations. We'd put either a tour bus or one of the good cabins up there, take care, make sure everything was taken care of, and people would love you.
What? I have to say, that is on my bucket list. Winning a Tony for Broadway, having my children and my grandchildren healthy and meeting their potential, which sometimes with a certain guy doesn't feel like that might happen. Mm-hmm. That's on my bucket list. And being in Sturgis.
Can you imagine if you were to put on the jacket and just, we could get very small, indiscreet cameras and just point them outward to people when they see you and just watch the faces as they realize the iconic character is in Sturgis, because that is, without a doubt, one of the most endearing, loved, revered characters ever played in American television.
Are the human beings, my image is that the human beings in Sturgis are just hardcore, tough human beings.
Yeah, there are those, very much so. But there are people who simply, the all-inclusive resort is not what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's some really touching stuff too. Like with Ballard has this big bar, and is a tree, and people will, if they've lost a friend, whether it be to cancer or motorcycle accident or whatever they've been friends with, they'll bring their helmet and they'll hang it in that tree. And as that tree that tree has grown, and there are trees, helmets that are up there 30, 40 feet now. And I've seen people, spread ashes at the Throttle. I've seen people get married at the Throttle. I've seen people meet each other, come back and tell everyone, we fell in love and we're going to be married. Friendships,
Wow. That sounds amazing.
It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. I love the fact that most people don't understand it, but once you do, there's a real brotherhood there and just a sense of freedom. Nobody goes tough guy.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it's you would love That's it a good. Lot. They would love
no,
you.
I, you know what? It sounds like I really would. It would be just an amazing thing. I am so different from the culture of that gathering, that it, opposites attract, it would be, amazing.
I say you are and you aren't. I think you love to travel. I think you love freedom. I think you love, you're not the normal guy. You're not going to Chateau Marmont and shacking it up for a week.
No, that's true.
you know.
That's true. I drive past it. I go by it almost every day.
But you're a thoughtful, you know, you're a seeker, I believe.
You know what? I think I am. I mean, I'm not being not humble, but I think that I am a seeker.
Yeah.
I do look for the essence of the thought that is going to move us all forward. Yeah. That is true.
I can't tell you how much I love you, and I'm so happy to be friends with you.
Yeah, it is. I look forward to these chats.
You're such a wonderful man. Hey, I hope to see you soon, Henry.
Thank you. Me too. And just give my best to everybody that you're talking to.
I will. The great Henry Winkler. Be safe, my friend. And I cannot wait to see you again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.